Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
So we are in a series that we started several weeks ago called Path to the Promise. And this is a series where we are talking about how God has a purpose for all of us. Amen? How many believe He's got a purpose and a plan for your life? So He has a plan, He has a purpose for you and your life. And so with that purpose comes a promise that certain things will come to pass. But sometimes there are paths that we have to take called a process, right? That prepares us for that promise and that purpose. And that process is really what we've been talking about a lot, and it's what I'm calling character building. That process we go through is called character building. Has the Lord had to do any character building for anyone in this room? Right? Right? Oh, man, I'm glad to see we got some really perfect people here. They didn't even raise their hand. Is the Lord continuing to build some people's character in this room? All right, every hand should be raised. He's still working on all of us, right? We won't be there until we're there, right? So sometimes in this character building process, and then just in life in general, we go through trials and tribulations and tests. Amen? Anybody ever been through one of those? And these trials, these tribulations and tests, these things we go through, they help build our character, which actually supports our promise and helps us to fulfill the purpose behind the promise. Because if you'll remember, the very first week we said this, the promise and the purpose are two different things. God will give us a promise to see us fulfill a purpose. He gave Joseph a dream, which was a promise, hey, your family's going to bow down to you. But there was a greater purpose behind it, and that was that thousands and thousands of lives would be saved in the midst of a famine. So sometimes He'll give us a promise to see us fulfill a purpose. And so we're talking about this, because, and we're using the life of Joseph to talk about this. Everything that Joseph has went through from the time he was given those dreams from God, some promises from God, to the point where he stood in a place, in a time, in a moment where he saw the fulfillment of those promises and fulfilled an even greater purpose. So we talked about pulling out puffed up pride in week one. Week two, we talked about the pits of life and how Jesus pulls us out of the pit. Last week, we talked about prosperous promotion and the biblical definition of God prospering us. And then today, we're going to talk on this subject, purity still matters. Purity still matters. So last week, I read the last part. I ended reading the last part of Genesis 39, verse 6. And that's where we're going to pick up today. We're going to read the last part of Genesis 39, 6, and we're going to read all the way through verse 12. And I will talk as we read along, okay? So Genesis 39, starting with the ending of verse 6. It says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, this is Potiphar's wife, cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, I want you to make note where it says she cast longing eyes, because we're going to come back to that a little later in the sermon, and really because it's a key to overcoming impurity, okay? So let me make this clear too. When she asked Joseph to lie with her, she isn't asking him to take a nap, okay? She was talking in terms of impurity, okay? Verse 8, but he refused, and he said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I want you to notice what Joseph calls sexual impurity. He calls it a great wickedness and a sin against God. Verse 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. I just want you to notice our battle is not with flesh and blood. Now, I know Potiphar's wife is coming at Joseph, but we talked about this a few weeks ago when we were talking about watching and praying. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. So when I say this, I'm not talking about this woman and putting her down. It was actually the enemy attacking Joseph through this woman, trying to get to him and trying to get him to act impure before God, okay? But again, this is the way the enemy attacks. It says she came to him day by day. Listen, he doesn't give you a day off. He comes at you day by day. But it says that Joseph did not heed to her. I want you to take note for Joseph. Right? Joseph did nothing wrong. He actually did what was right here. He did what was right. Verse 11, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Again, take note. Joseph did what was right. It says he ran and he fled from this temptation. Okay? Now this fleeing or this running that's just mentioned right here in verse 12 of Genesis 39, it actually falls in line with something we read in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18 from Paul. Okay? And it's talking about sexual impurity. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20 so we get the full scope of what Paul's saying. Okay? He says, it's pretty clear right here, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God, right? So the Bible's telling us right here, when we sin against our own body in sexual immorality, we are also sinning against God. That's why Joseph said, how could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. Our bodies are his temple, and we are to glorify God in our bodies. So sexual immorality is a form of impurity, and that's what we're going to focus on today. So I want to tell you some things about impurity, and I'm going to talk about some heavy stuff, but we all need to hear it. Amen? All right? We need to talk about it because we live in a world, we live in a culture, in a society where there's a lot of sexual immorality and impurity, and it's going on and it's being celebrated, even within the church. And part of the reason that has happened, and the reason it's happening, is because the church went silent and stayed silent on these issues for fear of backlash or for fear of being politically correct or hurting somebody's feelings. But I'll go ahead and tell you, I'd rather be scripturally sound, biblically correct, than politically correct and popular, right? I'm not in a popularity contest. I'm here just to preach the word. I've been charged to preach the word. I'm going to preach the word when you like it, when you don't. When it hits home, when it don't. Okay? So here's my first point. Impurity affects your family. It affects your family. Okay? I don't think we really realize how much it affects our families. I don't think we realize how many of us have been affected by it. If we open a door in this area of our life and we leave that door open, it can affect our family. Now, many of us have opened that door before. Many of us have had struggles in this area of our life before. But this is what you got to know. We can repent. You can walk away from that, and you can close the door to that thing in your life. But if you leave that door of impurity open in your life, it can affect your children. It can affect your grandchildren. It can affect your family and those around you, okay? One of the most famous examples of this is in 2 Samuel chapters 11, 12, and 13, okay? This is in the life of David where David fell into adultery with Bathsheba, okay? I want you to watch this. This is 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David from his rose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. He was the king. It was his own house. So he's just walking on the roof of his own house. And from the roof, he saw, okay, he saw, that has to do with the eyes, a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. That means he stayed and watched because he was beholding it, okay? It has to do with the eyes again. Remember, it said Joseph was very handsome in form and appearance. It says that this woman, Bathsheba, was beautiful to behold. All right, so this is what we know. If you read 2 Samuel 11, David falls into an immoral, impure relationship and has an affair with Bathsheba, okay? I want you to see how this affects your family. 2 Samuel chapter 12, the prophet of God, Nathan, he comes, confronts David about that. The very next chapter, 2 Samuel verse 13, or chapter 13, David's children fall immorally into sexual impurity, okay? It's amazing. You go read it. Chapter 11, 12, 13. And I'm going to read a good portion of 2 Samuel 13, and I'm going to pull some more points from that. And really, this is one of those stories in the Bible no one really likes to talk about, preach about, because of the context of it, okay? But we're going to talk about it. Why? Because purity still matters. Purity still matters. 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 16, it starts with these two words. After this. After what? After David, their father, fell into impurity. That's exactly what the Bible's saying. After these things happened, this happened. After this happened, this happened. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister. That means she was lovely to look upon, right? Whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick. For she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Let me stop right there and say, you better be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you're listening to. There's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together, so choose who you fly with and how high you get. Right? Your friends can influence you in a very positive way towards God, or your friends can influence you in a very negative way away from God. You got to be careful who you let speak into your life. Be careful who your friends are. Okay? Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. That's the Bible. Okay. So, it was he had a friend whose name was Jonadab, and the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man. Make note of that. He was a crafty man. And he said to him, why are you the king's son becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Let me just explain that right there. They're half siblings. They had the same father, different mothers, okay? So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father, that's David, comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat from her hand. Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. She took flour, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Red flag. Then Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. They all went out from him. Red flag. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into my bedroom that I may eat from your hand. Red flag. And Tamar took the cake which she had made and brought to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. In other words, she's saying, just do things the right way. Do things the right way. Don't go about this in a wrong and wicked way. Do things the right way. Verse 14, however, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced and laid with her. Then Amnon hated her. Take note of this. He hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise and be gone." So she said to him, "No, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. But I want you to listen to me, okay? I want you to listen to me. When love turns to lust and lust is fulfilled, that love can turn to hate. I'm going to say it again. When love turns to lust and lust is fulfilled, that can turn to hate, okay? And here's the reason why. One of the reasons, ladies, young ladies, all ladies, listen to me. One of the reasons that he loves you is he respects you, right? And the very thing that the world would tell you to give to him to keep him around is the very thing that may cause him to lose his respect for you, which will cause him to not love you anymore, okay? It's love and respect. I love and respect Amanda, right? I made a vow in an altar before God to love, honor, and respect her. And I received that same thing. She loves, honors, and respects me. But it's hard to love someone you don't respect, okay? And so this is amazing to me in this story. He loves her, but once his love turned to lust, right, and he fulfilled the lust of his flesh, we're told by the Bible that he hated her exceedingly. He hated her more, the hatred was more than the love that he originally had for her. This is what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that Satan is cruel. He's evil. Satan wants to ruin your life. He definitely wants to stop you from fulfilling God's purposes for your life. And he wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. That's what the word says. And he knows what sexual impurity does to a relationship. And this is an example of it right here that we just read. Now, here's the biggest thing I want you to see from this story. I'm about to talk to the men real quick. I'm going to focus on everybody a little bit today. Listen, Amnon says to David, his father, "I'm sick. Please let my beautiful sister," this is in Andrew's terms, "please let my beautiful sister come into my bedroom along with me and let me eat from her hand." Now, a lot of fathers would see through that. But why couldn't David at this moment? I'll tell you why. Because I believe he had an open door in that area in his own life. An open door of impurity. I'm telling you, man, listen to me. Listen to me, man of the house. Listen to me. You leave that door open in your life, you can bring them to church and you can do all you want to do. But if you're leaving that door open in your life, you're leaving a door open to your family. Y'all quiet on me. I'm telling you this morning, if there's a door, it's time to close it. It's time to close it. Point number one, impurity can affect your family. Here's point number two, impurity causes deceptions. It causes deceptions. Impurity will cause you to believe a lie, and it will cause you to lie. It'll cause you to be deceived, and it'll cause you to deceive. This is James chapter 1, verse 14, 15, and 16. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. The King James Version says lusts. When he's drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Then when desire or lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. To walk and to continue in sexual impurity, you have to believe this lie. It's a two-word lie. And I've been guilty of believing it myself, okay? So I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. But this is a two-word lie you have to believe. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay because I'm going to marry this person. I plan on marrying this person, so it's okay. What difference does a piece of paper make, so it's okay? I'm not receiving the love and the attention I should be receiving in my marriage, so it's okay that I do this and wander out. Or it's okay that I do this and look at this. It's okay. Listen, I'm going to tell you why it's not okay. Because it doesn't line up with God's word. Bottom line, it's not okay. So stop believing the lies of the enemy. Because when you do, you yourself begin to lie and deceive. Because you have to convince yourself, and maybe you have to convince others that it's okay to try to cover it up. Sometimes to cover up your actions. It's not okay if it doesn't line up with the word. It's not my word, it's his. So it's not okay. Listen, let's go all the way back to our childhood and relearn something real quick. If you have to lie about it, it's not okay. Right? If you have to lie about it, that should be the telling truth right there. It's not okay. I want to read you something from the book of Proverbs. This is Solomon in chapter 7, just spewing out wisdom. And he's talking in this chapter about an immoral woman. Okay? But around verse 18 in that chapter, he mentions this young man who gets involved with this immoral woman. And it starts out with this woman calling out to this young man, enticing him. But I want you to understand, this is a picture of immorality, of what immorality and impurity will do to you if you continue down that road. It's deceiving, okay? Proverbs 7, 8, starting with verse 18. She calls out to him. She says, come, let us take our fill of love until morning. By the way, that's not love, it's lust, right? Let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taking a bag of money with him, and he will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her. Listen how it describes it. As an ox goes to the slaughter. Unaware, right? As an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Bound, chained. Till an arrow stuck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Listen to me. If you've fallen into immorality or impurity, I'm not saying you've forfeited your purpose and your life is over. I'm not saying that. But I will say this. If you continue down that path, instead of taking God's path, if you continue down that path, you will not fulfill the purposes of God because you're going down a different path than the path of his purpose, right? And it will cost you your life. And when I say it'll cost you your life, you might live to be 90 years old, but it'll cost you the life that God had planned for you because you took your way instead of his way. And he has good plan, a good prosperous plan for you, but it could cost you if you go your own way, okay? Let me read the rest of Proverbs 7 right here, verses 24 through 27. It says, now therefore listen to me, who? My children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Whose ways? Immorality and impurity's ways. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Let me tell you something. You ain't too big that you can't fall. It says every one of them. We got to be watchful. We got to be praying, right? Take heed lest you fall, right? Take heed. So many who were slain by her were strong men. You're never too big to fall down. Verse 27, her house, this is so telling me, her house is the way to hell. In whose house? Sexual impurity and immorality. That's the way to hell. That's what it says. Descending to the chambers of death. Hear me. I'm going to say this very simply. Follow the way, the truth, and the life. Follow Jesus. All other ways only lead to deception, death, and hell. All right. Here's my last point. It kind of ties all this together. Impurity starts with the eyes and the ears. Listen, it all starts right here. These are a gate to your heart. And it starts right here. These are a gate to your heart. Remember what we first read about Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39, 6 and 7. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, what? Cast longing eyes on Joseph and said to him, lie with me. With David, it says, from the roof he saw a woman who was bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. That means he kept looking, right? With Amnon, it says, Tamar was lovely, and he had this longing, but he did not act upon it until he listened to a so-called friend who was very crafty. He listened to someone and something that told him to do what he already knew was wrong. But listen, what he did, he entertained it long enough that it went to his heart through these gates. Through these gates, he entertained it long enough, it went here. Okay? Let me show you who was at work through Amnon's so-called friend. The Bible calls him very crafty and cunning too. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more cunning or crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? I want you to notice some words. I'm going to emphasize them as I read. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said, who's she listening to? God had already spoken. The serpent had said to the woman, it's a gate, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw, right, that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard, listen, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Satan has been trying to plant seeds of sin and destruction into our hearts since the beginning of time through the ear gates and through the eye gates. He's trying to get to the heart. And I want to say this, what we watch and what we listen to, it matters. It matters. I know this isn't popular preaching, but I'm going to preach it anyway. I heard people say over and over again, oh, Pastor Andrew, I can watch that movie or those shows with that nudity and all that other junk in it, and it doesn't bother me at all. Bull honky. Bull honky. That's planting seed in your heart. It's a direct gate. Right? Oh, Pastor Andrew, I can listen to all this sort of music that's got all kind of terrible lyrics and is promoting all sort of ungodly things, but I'm not really listening to the lyrics. I'm just listening to, I like the beat. I like the drums. I like the guitar. I like all this. I like the way it does that. It doesn't affect me. Let me say it again. Bull honky. Bull honky. That is planting seed in your heart. The enemy is cunning and he is crafty. And he loves to hear those words. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't affect me. Because what he is doing is he is desensitizing you to the things of God. He's desensitizing you to the things of God's word. And he's getting you comfortable with the things of this world. And the more you watch and the more you listen, the more casual it becomes for you. And the more we do that, the more our eyes are open to the pleasures of this world, and the more we hide ourselves from the presence of God. Somebody can praise him. We get to choose what comes into these gates. We get to choose. Psalm 101, verses 1 through 4. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Notice it says in my house. How do you conduct yourself in the privacy of your own home? Because that says a lot about your character. What is it you're listening to and watching in the privacy of your own home? What things come before your eyes and your ears? Notice right here at the end of verse 2, what it says about the heart. And then verses 3 and 4 that I'm about to read. The connection is made between the eyes and the heart. Verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. Why? Why would it depart from me? Because I've set a guard over my eyes. I'm filtering what comes in. I will not know wickedness. It won't have a place in me. Jesus says over and over again throughout the Gospels, he that has ears, let him hear. Matthew 11:15, he who has ears, let him hear. Mark 4:9, he who has ears, let him hear. Luke 14, he's talking about being the salt of the earth. At the end of that, says, hey, if we've lost our saltiness and our flavor, right, what good are we to be thrown out and trampled on? He who has ears, let him hear. Revelation 2:7, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to who? The churches. Us. Right? Over and over again, Jesus tells us we should be listening. But the question is, who or what are we listening to? Are we listening to his voice? Are we listening to his word? Are we listening to our own? Are we listening to someone who's cunning, who's crafty, who's getting you comfortable, desensitized? Who are you listening to? Let me tell you something. If it doesn't line up with his word, it's not his voice. If it doesn't line up with his word, it's not his voice. Jeremiah 6:10. This is our problem, all right? Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He was charged to preach it, and nobody would listen to him. That's why he cried all the time. God, you gave me a call. You sanctified me. You set me apart to declare the word. I've been declaring it to your people, and not one of them will listen to me. That's why he was called the weeping prophet. He was upset. Nobody listened. God, you've called me, but nobody's listening. This is what he said. He said, to whom shall I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised. It's covered up. And they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Take no delight in the word. Why? Because it hits home. It hits too close to home. I don't like that. I ain't listening to that. That hits too close. That means I got to change my life a little bit. That means I got to filter what comes in here and what I do here. That's too close to home. 2 Timothy 4. Mandy, you can come. 2 Timothy 4:1-5. Paul says to Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, their own lusts, whatever they think is right, because they have itching ears, they will heap or gather up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they'll turn aside to fables. But you, be watchful, watch for the things of God in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let me sum all that up. You get to choose who you listen to. It says, hey, some will turn because they got itching ears. That word hits too close to home. I don't like that preacher. That made me feel uncomfortable. I felt a little funny about that. That was too close to home. So they'll turn to something that feels good for them to hear. Oh, that makes me feel better. That makes me feel better. I can handle that. As long as you don't get too comfortable with what I'm doing in my home, it's my home. I tell you what, even when you're at home alone, you're not alone. He still sees you. Listen, you get to choose what comes in these gates. In these gates. You get to choose. Who or what are you listening to? Who or what are you watching? Who or what are you looking for? You looking for him? You looking for other things to satisfy your flesh? I want to say this. Look, you can't help being tempted. Being tempted is not a sin, right? We all are flesh. We have temptations. But when we start to entertain the temptation, we're setting ourselves up for failure. You know, Pastor Reed, I grew up under his ministry. He said this many times in his sermons, right, talking about temptation. He used to say, if you're driving through your neighborhood, men, I'm going to use men for an example, but ladies, this goes for you too. So if you're driving through your neighborhood and you see a lady sunbathing, you see that, and you know, you can't help being tempted, right? You drive on past. That's not a sin. But if you drive around the third or fourth time, you've set yourself up for failure. It's not, you've entertained the temptation. Or if you pull over on the side of the road and just watch. Because I've heard people say, hey, just one look doesn't mean anything. Well, what if you stop and look one really long time? So it can mean something. It's what are you entertaining? What are you letting in here? What are you letting in here? Because whatever goes here and here goes here. And you may not see the fruit of it right away, but it's planting seed. It's planting seed. Everything, listen, everything in the Word of God is true. And there's a physical correspondence and there's a spiritual correspondence. The Bible says as long as the earth shall exist, there'll be seed time and harvest time. Right? And so as in a spiritual sense, as we're planting seeds in our heart, whether they're good or bad, in time, we're going to see the fruit of it. And that could be good fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit, or it could be bad fruit, like the fruit of the world, the lust of the flesh, that comes out, and it'll come out when you least expect it. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close. When I was probably in middle school, late elementary, so, I mean, fourth, fifth grade, I think I've talked about this before, fourth or fifth grade all the way to middle school, I had some friends that were cussers. Like I was raised, my dad got saved when I was five. We were raised in church, and so we didn't say any dirty words in our home. Or anybody got a bar of soap in their mouth as a child? You got a bar of soap in your mouth. I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. That way it wasn't my parents, that was my grandmother, who's 98 still today. And she'll still put a bar of soap in your mouth if you cuss around her. All right? But I started hanging out with some friends at school, and they heard it at home, so they were just repeating what they heard. But then, I would talk like them at school. And I thought, oh, I can do this at school, and then at home I'll be good. You know, I don't have to say those sort of things. I was two people. But those seeds, because I hung around them enough that I didn't want to do it at first, and then eventually I started doing it, but I only did it at school. And so I was like, they can never see at home, they can never see this part of my life. But I'll never forget, I was playing, I think it was Mario on a video game, and something happened. And I went, bleep! And my whole house. I didn't mean to cuss. It just came right out. You know why? Because it had been planted, there was seed planted there. The fruit of it came out even when I didn't want it to. I'm telling you that to tell you this. I know it's a little funny, but it's serious too. Whatever seeds you're allowing to be planted here, it'll eventually come out. And it'll come out when you don't want it to. What's going in these gates? Just a couple questions for you. Do we have itching ears? I've had to ask myself this week, God, even in my own life, across the board, are there things that I say, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Do I have itching ears to hear only what I want to hear? Or am I giving heed? Am I listening to the word that is preached, the word that is spoken, the word that I'm reading? Am I listening to the word of the Lord? Or is it a reproach to me? Is it a reproach to me when it hits home? Oh, man, I'll refrain from that. Do you delight yourself in the word of the Lord, or do you turn a deaf ear to it? I know this is a tough word, but I've been charged to preach it. If I could just preach feel-good sermons every week, I would, and we do that sometimes here, you know. I just preach what He lays on my heart. But I know it's a hard word, but listen, I got to preach it in season and out, when you like it, when you don't. But I'm preaching it. You know why? Because purity still matters. It matters to the Lord. Because He wants the best for you. And He wants to see His plans, His purposes, and His promises fulfilled in your life. And He can't do that if you go your own way. But He won't force you to go His. We get to choose. We get to choose if everybody would stand. Just want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Andrew, you know, there's some portions of this word that has hit home. It's okay, because every week as I'm making notes, I weep and I repent before the Lord, because I see areas of my life that I need to let the Lord work in and on me. But you say, Pastor Andrew, this morning there's some things you said that hit home. And I just want to say this. I feel like there are people this morning that impurity has affected you because it was in your family. You were affected by the impurity of either parents, grandparents, family members, or friends around you, and it affected you. And you've dealt with that, and you're dealing with that. But I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm going to heal you this morning if you'll let me. If you'll let me. If you'll let me. If that's you, just every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, I'm struggling with some things. I've been hurt by impurity, or I'm dealing with impurity, and the buck stops right here for me and my family. If that's you, throw your hand up. Put it right back down. Yeah. Yeah. If you're here and you say, Pastor Andrew, listen, there's some things that I realized even this morning that the enemy has been cunning and he's been deceiving me with. He's got me to believe a lie. It's okay. And I'm not just talking in terms of sexual impurity right here. I'm talking about in general, across the board. There's some things in your life that you feel like, wait, the enemy has been deceiving me. I've been listening to the wrong voice. And I got a revelation this morning during the Word. If that's you, throw your hand up. Put it right back down. Yeah. Yeah. Last one. You say, Pastor Andrew, there's some things I know that's been coming in my eye gates and my ear gates that shouldn't be there. And I'm ready to set a guard over my heart. That's you, just throw your hand up. Yeah. Yeah. This is the most important question. Save the best for last. You say, Pastor Andrew, I don't even know that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Y'all have talked about him being a healer. You talked about plans and purposes and promise for my life. But I know of him, but I don't know him personally. And I want to get to know him. And I want to fulfill the plans and purposes that he has for my life. And I want to know him as a Lord, as a Savior of my life. And I want to give my heart to him today. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it right back down. Everybody look at me. Listen, there was hands raised for all sorts of questions. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I'm not here to do anything like that. I'm here to give you an opportunity to let the Lord work in you and your life and your heart. There's no judgment here. I know the Lord's still working on me. I'm going to give you an opportunity. They're going to begin to sing. And as they sing, I want you to come to this altar. If you raised your hand, maybe you should have but didn't. It's not a force. It's just an opportunity for you to spend some time with the Lord and let him do what he wants to do in you, okay? So as they sing, if you raised your hand for any reason or maybe didn't, just come. Just come.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.